Item 6, a resolution by Supervisor Lipscomb Sr. prohibiting the establishment of alternative pay rates for unclassified county employees except as authorized by board policies and requiring the Human Resources Director to report on the steps taken to carry out the board's directives regarding the salaries of unclassified employees and to report the current salaries and pay grades of all unclassified county employees.
Thank you. Your resolution, Chairman Lipscomb, please.
Yes, thank you. Just sort of the transition there from the last item to this one, you know, I think that's why it was important that we scheduled that item. No report had come from the work group. No report had come from HR. And it's the way in which HR has coupled the pay and equity issue with the changes they want to make that has put you in this box where you have employees requesting and deserving adjustments, but you have no item in front of you to provide those that without doing all the other things that HR was trying to get accomplished. And so they put you in that box, and that's unfortunate. I think the transition then to this issue is the distinction between what we have tried to uncouple with the work group and all of the things that they've been doing unilaterally without any authorization of this board. And I think that that speaks to Supervisor Jurczyk's question earlier about what we had adopted or not adopted. Mm-hmm. They talked about it as though they've been proceeding as though something had been approved. Nothing was approved related to these new pay bands. They have been implementing them, however. So that's what this item is about. It's not a new one for this committee. 2 years ago, the committee and then the board adopted budget limits on executive level salaries. That was in the 2014 budget. The limits on salaries for political appointees were a policy and budget decision, and we've received two legal opinions that support the board's authority to take those actions. We learned that the county executive and human resources defied those policies and refused to implement the budget limitations on executive salaries that were adopted by this county. The actions taken by the administration circumvent the implementation of the law, the adopted budget, county ordinances, and Wisconsin statutes. And obviously that should be troubling to all of us, is troubling to us. We've learned that without public notice or legislative approval, the county executive has effectively created a shadow pay scale for his political appointees. And that's that other pay scale that you have never adopted.
Yeah.
But they are paying.
Yeah.
Cloak of secrecy that surrounds his actions and are carried out with few details and without public hearings. More recently, media reports uncovered that the executive had unilaterally, again without public notice or input, gave almost a $50,000 raise to one political appointee. That nearly $50,000 raise lifted the appointee's salary to $175,000, well outside the maximum limitation adopted by the legislative branch. The individual was placed in a pay band that has not been authorized by the county board and Milwaukee County. This is just one example. Through our research, we've learned that Human Resources has moved other employees into these unauthorized pay bands. If left unchecked, there is nothing that would stop the executive from authorizing a pay range with a maximum of $1 million under the shadow pay scale. This resolution before you is connected to the action that'll be before the board this month to hire outside counsel, which moved through judiciary last week, that would seek to get advice and potentially pursue litigation on the separation of powers between the board and the county executive. This county executive has exceeded his authority, and the outside lawyers will help us to clarify the limits of his power. The resolution before you today affirms, clarifies, and crystallizes the board's position on pay. It does not do anything new with respect to drawing that limitation, but it clarifies that everything we have done, all the action that the board took, is we believe to still be in effect. We've done nothing since then to undermine that, and that was effectively that you're not accepting that that the moves they've made that have been unapproved, you're not validating those. It's clear that the executive rejects commonly accepted checks and balances and statutory limitations on his authority in favor of unilateral action done in private outside of the public eye. His administration is subject to the law and should adhere to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's some strong words, but I think I've spoken to this issue more than once before. I think our whole committee has. We need to have some clarification on answers. We have an important role to serve for the constituents of this community. We need to know where we stand. When we make resolutions, we still make policy. Supervisor Johns and I have talked about this. We want to be co-sponsors of this as well. So I'll ask for that. And I would move approval here.
So I would welcome you as co-sponsors. I'd welcome anyone who wishes to join.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Supervisor Schmidt and I are co-sponsors. Anyone else like to be co-sponsors? Whole committee except for Supervisor Weddle. Supervisor Weddle, the whole committee.
Supervisor Mayor, would you like to be a co-sponsor?
Oh, no.
Okay. Would any of you like to speak? Supervisor Romo, less than Supervisor Jersey.
First off, I'd like to start off by thanking Chairman Lipscomb for his work on this, as always. I think I want to state publicly that it's extremely disappointing that we get reports finding out that the Behavioral Health Division is the first person to jump on board and implement this new pay scale. But last budget, as my colleagues will remember, and for those of my colleagues that weren't here then, we'll educate you on the fact that this particular committee and this particular chairman fought to get the pension and the insurance benefits for our employees out at BHD. We actually ended up adding money into the budget to do that because there was this question as to, are these county employees? Are these state employees? What exactly is going on with these employees? And it was this committee that stepped up and said, these are county employees, this is a county benefit, and these employees will get this county benefit. To come to find out that we've later been sidestepped and, in fact, stepped over, and that BHD is now going ahead and implementing this pay increase is extremely disappointing. I think probably I can speak on behalf of most members of this committee. The other part of this whole thing is, and I get phone calls to my office when I'm out in public, bump into county employees, and the number one complaint that I hear, which I think is very justified, is the complaint that we have new hires that are making more money than our employees. And that's unfair. It used to be that Milwaukee County employees had things like seniority, had union that they could go to and they could complain and people to fight for them. And unfortunately, in the political atmosphere that we've created in the state of Wisconsin, we are slowly stripping people of all of the rights that they have to get what they rightfully deserve. And this, unfortunately, is an egregious case of that. How in the world do you justify paying somebody who's coming through the front door more than somebody who's been doing that job for the past 30 years? And again, I'm a strong proponent of our employees here in Milwaukee County. I totally dislike the attitude that somehow they deserve to be treated this way because they are public employees. Our workforce in Milwaukee County has been cut by about 70% over the last 14 years. So if you take that into account, you have to know that we have employees that are doing more than one job. that are doing, you know, that are being asked to work long hours, and you know that. Because if you read the newspaper, you see the sheriff's deputies, the employees out at BHD. And so, again, I want to applaud my colleague, Supervisor Lipscomb, for bringing this forward and kind of just evening out the playing field. We have to do something. Because, again, I have no doubt that this affects morale. I have no doubt that this affects people's ability to do your job. If I'm working next to, you know, Supervisor Haas, and I've been here, you know, 8 years longer than he has, and he's coming through the door making more money than I am, no matter how much I like him, it's not fair. And so, again, I appreciate the effort. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Schmidt, did you move to adopt?
I did.
Supervisor Mayo? Oh, Jersey DeMayo, I'm sorry. Jersey DeMayo.
Who are you recognizing?
Jersey. Supervisor.
Just trying to understand the be it resolved clause that goes 63 to 66. This is the one that states in the exercise of policymaking authority expressly prohibits the creation or implementation of any proposed rate of pay or pay bands for unclassified employees. Is it the intention of that language to undo pay that has already been awarded individuals?
Well, I think it's the intention to say that we never did authorize it, and in fact, we couldn't quantify it for you today. I can't tell you the amount that's been awarded because it's never been reported to you. So it is us saying that we don't recognize there to be such a shadow, that there is no, there should be no shadow pay band, and we don't recognize it. I think it's incumbent on the administration to figure out how they want to reconcile that. I suspect they will just continue to ignore us, and that's essentially why we are probably on a litigation footing.
I mean, that presupposes that the county executive is going to ignore the resolution. I mean,
well, if he ignored the budget.
If he actually does what the resolution provides, and he has created those kinds of pay grades, then I think the intent is, and I guess I'm asking the author, is it the intention to take back those pay grades over the set levels? In other words, he'd be receiving a pay deduction. Would that be the intention?
I think if they were illegally authorized, they should be rescinded.
So, I mean, I think there was a financial statement put out late yesterday that basically said this had zero impact. I mean, it could actually result in savings if these things are being paid out.
I would say that the distinction is that, from our perspective, these were never authorized. And so the fiscal impact was the increased cost of them ignoring the policy and ignoring the budget. And so for us, there's nothing new about us saying you should adhere to the adopted policy. So saying that does not have a fiscal impact. Them actually applying the fiscal, applying the policy would have a fiscal impact, yes.
And
but it's uncalculable. I mean, we literally don't have that information.
Right. The other two be it resolved clause basically asks for a report and information. I mean, I think we're going to be loaded with all this at budget time. And I've been, you know, I agree with all the comments about employees that are at a lower pay rate being asked to train the new hires who are being paid more. I don't think a single corporation in the private sector would allow that to continue because you're going to have a lot of disgruntled employees. And of course, county government is a service to the public. So you need employees that are not disgruntled, because unfortunately it would be human nature, just when you're unhappy, to then take it out on the very public you're supposed to be serving. So it's a concern. It's a concern I have. And I certainly hope that is rectified as we go forward through the budget. I can think of several department heads who came before us. Clerk of Court Barrett, District Attorney Chisholm, all talking about problems within their offices with regard to hires and losing employees and so on because of the pay grades. And I think as we go through budget, I'm paying attention to this. I'm going to start asking those department heads when we start going through the budgets is if this is a problem in their departments, if the new pay grades are going to be sufficient. I think we're going to have a terrible time with budget because it's not just looking at the, you know, the numbers. It's going to be resolving all these issues that have been smoldering, really, for years here. So, I mean, I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's trying to clarify what we understood the policy to be to begin with. One other question, maybe this is more for Corp Counsel. I mean, and I don't want to talk about personalities here, but the BHD director does have his own separate board that he responds to. I don't know if – I know this board ultimately sets the budget. And last year we actually removed the BHD budget, gave a nod to it that was set. And then ultimately it became part of our, you know, overall taxing authority, but it was not technically approved by this board. And I don't know if the director of BHD is answering to that board with regard to his budget being set or the salary. I don't know if Corp Counsel wants to weigh in on that.
Well, it's my understanding that the director's pay is in the director's office budget, which is outside of BHD. But more than that, the issue goes beyond just that position. That just happens to be sort of a more egregious one and one that's been public. But there are many others who've already received these changes and been moved to these new pay bands and with increases. We're really talking in this instance about upwards of 300. Unclassified or exempt employees. So it goes well beyond just a very select group.
We're starting to have the legislature in Madison carve out areas that this board does not oversee. BHD was one of them. Now it's any land sale. So are we going to see economic development director carved out somehow because we no longer have authority over land sales? I don't know if the administration is even making that argument, but it clearly is a problem. And if we have budget oversight, I agree we have to get a hold of this. So I would like some clarification on that. I hope these reports will address it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Mayo, then Supervisor Romo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say the culture of Milwaukee County. This is one of the reasons why we can't even have a diversity group. You can't even get the pay structure. It seems like you have your hired gun, they get paid, and then your other individuals, they feel positive, well, I'm going to pay you too. But the co-worker, the worker bees, now we waited on you for a second. I need Corp Counsel answers. Is this right here, what he have done, is it legal? In your expect, in your mind? I'm talking about what our chair have done, because I'm supportive. But I just want to know where Corp Counsel stand on this.
Well,
and remember, you served both.
I understand.
Zach and the left.
Right. I served the county, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. This is not consistent with opinions that I've issued in the past.
It's not consistent?
No.
Where is not consistent, please, Mr. Copeland?
Well, I've opined in the past that the matters addressed in this resolution are, in fact, lie with the executive branch. This goes back to discussions and opinions that we've had early in 2014, which I think is what the resolution speaks to. The board has chosen to do other things. The controller has therefore been put in the position of following what the board has directed. Some things are in place because the board didn't take action when certain raises were presented. Others, the board did take action when certain raises were presented. It's a mishmash. As the chairman has pointed out, the board is on the verge of hiring legal counsel to try to support this position. This position is basically opposite to the position I've opined. And I guess, if all this is adopted and goes through, then the issue will end up in the court. You'll have your attorneys, and whoever they sue will have their attorneys. So.
Are you not going to... You gonna step back from that?
I think I'll probably have to, and we'll see how.
I recommend you should.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. But my other question for you, Court Counselor, is when this body says something, and when the county exec do not follow through, what alternative does this body have?
Well,
I mean, even when you tell them that you need to follow through,
right,
and he don't follow through.
Right.
So I'm just curious where we gonna go with this issue,
right,
and I'm so happy that the chairman got the balls. I mean, we're gonna go and start looking for legal counsel, because there's a lot of stuff that I don't agree. Like for instance, didn't the legislature say that we have we deal with park issues, parkland?
Right.
How did they sell some of the parkish land by Driscoll Park to that Walmart up there? I'm going to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, yeah, that's parkland. Mm-hmm. And they built it. They took it from Driscoll Park.
Not familiar with that one.
I figured you wouldn't. But no, really, it's the culture. I want to make sure that we are doing within our legal boundaries. Even though you might not agree, but we are within our legal boundaries to do this.
Well.
So, thank you.
Mr. Barger, I have a question before you leave.
Sure.
It may be legal for somebody to be offered a job at a higher pay range than those who are already incumbents in the system. It may be legal. I'm not saying it's appropriate, and on a widespread basis. I'm not saying it's appropriate, but it may be legal. That is to say, if someone comes in as Ms. Rogers from the president of 645. Is indicated through this letter that people are hired near the top of the pay range or significant steps above what the entry level, and then you take into consideration experience and all that. But if I've also seen such to happen at the state of Wisconsin, that people will come in. And they'll be hired at a higher pay range. These are people with some of these people with relatively very little experience. It is legal, but my question is whether it's appropriate, whether it's ethical to bring in all your friends, or bring in some people that you know, or people that your friends know, bring them in into government. I'm not talking about private corporation. I'm talking about government. Hire them at a higher pay range than those people, a significantly higher pay range than those people who are already in place. Is there anything illegal about that? It may be inappropriate to some. It may be somewhat unethical to some. But is there a problem with respect to legality?
Well, Mr. Chairman, good question. And I assume here you're talking about not non-civil service positions. So civil service, of course, we have a process. People go through the application, they're screened, and
yes,
an eligible list is presented. For non-civil service positions, the process is somewhat different. And I think the short answer to your question is no, it's not illegal to do what you described. It is legal to do what you've described.
But it could be very inappropriate to
why. Right. Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The answer in terms of the legality of what's before you, this was prepared in concert with our outside counsel. So we have hired out. I have hired outside counsel. They are under contract. What was before judiciary was an expansion of that, an amendment of that contract, as well as the as the authorization to pursue litigation. So we do have outside counsel. They prepared this with me and advised for it, and that's why I say it is the precursor. I would maybe you could even say it's the warning shot for the executive that we believe him to be acting outside of the law. He's clearly in violation of the budget that was adopted. That is the disagreement. That is the reason that we have outside counsel. We didn't create that conflict. The county executive creates that conflict by going beyond what's authorized in the budget. We understand corporation counsel provided that opinion. It is an interesting read. If you go back, my favorite line is that it's a close call. Since then, we've had two outside firms, and they've both told us that they believe that our actions are proper and legal. But ultimately, lawyers can have different opinions. A court will decide. So, thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion to adopt. Supervisor Romo West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very quickly, I just wanted to state for the record that countywide, the number of employees has decreased by 40% over the last 14 years. The higher number that I stated was in regards to departments that I deal with as the Chair of House and Human Needs, like BHD, where you're closing units and you have employees definitely doing one or more jobs. I'd also like to state for the record that out at BHD, there has been somewhat of a concerted attempt to remove civil service rules. So you have, I think, a little bit more egregious things going on out there in regards to seniority and things like that. There actually has been some removal of civil service rules out at BHD, and I think we're kind of discussing and probably will more during the budget the legality of that as well, and whether or not that happened and should have happened. This board did not approve that. And neither do I believe did the personnel review board. So anyways, but it's 40% over the last 14 years. And thank you to Mr. Cady for pointing it out to me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Anyone else have a comment, question? We have a motion to adopt. Madam Coordinator, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Romo West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Waddle?
Aye.
Moore Omokunde?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
8 ayes, 0 noes. The motion that item number 6 be recommended for adoption prevails.
Mr. Chair?